The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Keeping you plugged in to the latest real estate market trends, from mortgage news and legal developments to everything you need to know about buying or selling a property, benefited by the advice of the experts. Now, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back to the second half of Eye on Real Estate, and I'm thrilled to be here with Rebecca San Juan, who's a real estate reporter for the Miami Herald. Rebecca, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Dottie. It's always a pleasure to join you.
I'm so glad to have you on the show. You know, I opened a lot of offices for Elliman in Florida, so I've been frequenting Florida for, I don't know, the last 15 years because of my offices and because I like it. And I've been noticing, and maybe just more aware of it, but I think from the pandemic, half the New Yorkers and people from the East Coast are in Florida now, are in South Florida. What do you see going on in Florida?
So here's what's been happening. We have a major wealth migration. It started a little bit before the pandemic, right, where you had executives moving down here and setting up shops, working remotely, feeling like they could have their staff in New York and they could manage them from their office in Miami. But then during the pandemic, with this shift to remote work, the staff had the liberty to have the freedom to move and work wherever they wanted. And a lot of them chose South Florida because of the zero income taxes, the warm climate, and just the ease of living here. We didn't have those strict closures that you had up there in New York, in Massachusetts, in D.C. We didn't have the cold winter. So that drew a lot of people down here. And you're still seeing this wealth migration with people like Messi, David Beckham, Victoria Beckham, Tom Brady, Jeff Bezos, Ken Griffin. And they're bringing their staff, their friends are taking notice, and they're moving down here. And they're providing young professionals, especially with firms that you see like Blackstone and Thoma Bravo, really high, well-paying jobs. So that allows young professionals to, you know, have a great lifestyle here and earn a high salary.
Yeah, I was in Florida. I just got back. Actually, I came back on the wrong day. I came back on the day the president was in New York, and so half the streets was shut down. It was pouring rain, and I didn't know how I was going to get out of the car with three luggages and get to my apartment when half the streets were closed. But I'm back in New York, but I'll be back in Florida. And, you know, I think when I was young and growing up, I kind of always thought of Florida, oh, gee, you know, when people retire and they get older, they go to Florida. And then, of course, I would always go to the Arts Park Basel and go to Miami, and I certainly loved those days of the art shows and so much culture. But I now seeing after the pandemic, and I think as you alluded to, with everyone learning how to use Zoom, because, you know, we could probably talk to somebody other than on the phone or see their face. People have learned to work different and work, you know, they don't have to necessarily be in the home. And all I see is development, development, development. I was in West Palm right before I left. God, there was God knows how many developments there. I think related probably, I would say, owns half of the stuff there. And they're bringing a lot of their employees down, too. And I not only saw residential, a lot of commercial space. So you must be seeing the same thing. Now, are you seeing the same thing in commercial and residential, or is it different for either one? What are you seeing as far as real estate there?
So So in terms of commercial, the warehouse sector is still the darling of the South Florida real estate. It is the place where investors want to park their money. In fact, in January, my colleague Lauren Costantino, she covers religion, and we both caught a really important deal, and it was that the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, their investment branch, they spent $174 million on a warehouse park in Hialeah. And that was the highest sale of all of 2023. We caught it in the deal finally closed and ironed out in January. But it was the highest warehouse sale in all of 2023. And when we were investigating and learning why would a investment arm of the Mormon Church decide to spend this much money, everyone came back with saying the same thing. Warehouses are really hot. It is the place to park where people want to park their money. And it's all tied to population growth, right? Because the fact is, we are still seeing people wanting to buy and shop from home, and companies take notice. They definitely want to deliver, shorten those delivery times, and so they're trying to find warehouses where they're closer to their consumers, to their customers.
So the delivery can be quick?
Exactly. And so that's why, as an investor, what I've read and what I've reported on is you don't really lose money because there's always demand from companies wanting great warehouses that are close to large residential communities. So the warehouses are going strong. Warehouses are going strong. And office, surprisingly, we're seeing all of these headlines nationally about how lenders are really concerned about lending to any office project. They're worried about vacancy rates. But here in South Florida, it is a totally different story. In fact, we are seeing not just boutique office buildings, which I wrote a story and posted this morning in the Miami Herald. We're not just seeing really boutique office buildings in great areas like south of Fifth and South Beach, which is one of the most expensive areas in all of Miami-Dade County. No, we're seeing these major towers, major skyscrapers in places like Brickell, because a lot of people are betting that all of these firms and corporations that are moving down here, they're going to expand, and that flow is going to continue. So there's a lot of faith in the office market. Now, retail, that's the other part of commercial real estate. A lot of people are holding their breath. Retail is doing well depending on the location, right? So you have projects like Miami World Center, which is the largest urban project in the second largest urban development in the entire country. It's in downtown Miami, and you have companies like Apple that are eager, fighting for some retail space there. And they just signed on to open a new flagship location at the Miami World Center. But then you have other places that are maybe a little bit more remote, some malls, and they are struggling. They are struggling. So it depends. Retail really depends on the location.
So you're saying it varies then. Well, I would kind of think also that's probably, I'm just guessing all across the country because, before the pandemic, people went to stores. Now everything, we got used to using Amazon and buying everything online when that's all we had. That was the only choice we had. And I think people got used to it. And I think the same thing is going to happen with the work week. And I know that employers are trying to get people back 5 days a week. In my opinion, and again, just my opinion, those days are over. Maybe you'll have four. three, but I think we all learned that you can do a lot of the work out of your home and be just as effective. Again, I don't think it helps culture, so I think that, you know, it's good for people to get together for culture reasons. But I just think Florida, when I, as you said, when I think about it, and I see there's so many young people there, and a lot of people, you know, I think I told you before the show, I was in West Palm, right, like last week, and I was looking and around, and my God, I think we labored what half of West Palm Beach, and the amount of construction and office buildings and new developments that are going up are crazy.
There is development going up everywhere from Miami-Dade County through Broward through Palm Beach County. There are a lot of developments going up. And in terms of residential development, there is this concern I'd like to bring up with condo buyouts. So something that we have going on here in South Florida, an issue, a challenge, is that people are getting, there's not just, homeowners don't only have to worry about homeowners insurance, but they also have to worry about reserves for their associations. And after the collapse of the Champlain Towers in 2021 in Surfside, the laws have changed here in Florida. And they have gone into effect where basically all condo associations have to have a minimum amount of money reserved. So if they have to update something, there's no issue. They can have that funding to start working on whatever project they need to get done. Also, a lot of buildings have to be brought up to code. And so what's happening and how that's tied into development is that a lot of these, imagine, a lot of usually homeowners that are budget strapped, they often buy a condo because it's cheaper than buying a single family home. And exactly. And a lot of these are also retirees on limited fixed incomes. And so what's happening is a lot of these older buildings that are on the water that might not have a lot of amenities, but they have a strong community that has lived there for many years. They're in strategic locations. They are basically, developers are being drawn to them because they know that a lot of these buildings, they won't be able to afford to keep up with all of the costs. So in fact, we have up to, I believe, 18, we reported, since 2019 through 2023, we have 18 condo buyouts that have closed in Miami-Dade and Broward alone. Meaning 18 buildings, are in the hands of developers, and they are ripe for redevelopment. So that is something that is definitely contributing to the development frenzy that we have here in South Florida.
No, I was reading something that was saying that basically if, again, whether you're in New York or Florida, everybody likes new, okay? It has all the amenities and all, you know, the bells and whistles. However, you know, when you look at buildings, you know, if they were saying that developers sometimes are, it's easier for them to knock the building down if it's old than to just get it all back into the new codes and everything like that. So they were saying it's almost sometimes cheaper to knock the whole thing down.
That's right. That's right. It is. It really is often more cheaper to just knock the whole thing down. And also, you're absolutely right. People want new. They want new amenities. They want a new, fresh look. Oftentimes, these buildings that are being obtained by developers and bought out, these are buildings that are, you know, that were built before the 1980s. They don't have the swanky spa, the really nice lounge if you want to work from your building.
Exactly.
So that's why it is much easier just to demolish and build new.
Yeah, and I see so many people that are commuting that actually, because, I mean, again, from New York, it's not a big trip. It's about two and a half hours. And because you can work from home a bit now, you know, they're doing both, or they're spending a couple of months there, because when I'm in Florida, I might as well be in New York. Okay.
Right.
All my friends are there. Well, they're not there in the summer. Let me take that back. Okay, but definitely in the winter. Okay, it used to be that I think people did it for tax reasons, and it's still primarily because of the tax situation is favorable there. And if I'm not mistaken, also the inheritance tax is also better there, if there is any. I'm not sure. I have to get a tax guy in for that. But now I just see it as people feel it's just a way of life. And I must say, as much as I love New York, and it's so eclectic and it's just always crazy, it's so different, I have to say, I spent enough time in Florida to say it's really an easier life. It really is. And it's flourishing, and it has really, basically the amenities are really coming to par. I mean, they're building, you know, great stuff and great amenities, and you know, there's always functions going on. I think it's really grown a lot. Now, again, Florida is a big state, so you cover Southern Florida, so that's kind of what I'm most familiar with. I think a lot of East Coast people end up there, but of course, all parts of Florida, like Naples, and you know, I think Tampa. I mean, it's really growing.
That's right. And I will tell you, I do cover South Florida for the Miami Herald, but I know that beyond Miami-Dade, the most popular beyond Miami, it's really Tampa. Tampa is attracting so many people from both South Florida, from across the state of Florida, and from across the country. So I think they, based off of the reports that I've read from the Tampa Bay Times, they really are receiving a lot of newcomers. Also, Orlando has attracted a lot of new residents as well. So there are these places, these communities across the state that are attracting a lot of population growth.
What advice would you give somebody who is thinking of relocating to Florida? And maybe they're not sure. Obviously, you sometimes gravitate where your friends are. But assuming that's not the case, what kind of homework should they do? Or what should they know? What kind of things that would you tell somebody people who are just contemplating, thinking, maybe I'll make this a permanent move?
I think what we see with newcomers is they oftentimes will rent for a year in a community that appeals to them. And my advice would be follow the crowd. A lot of newcomers, they go to places like Miami Beach. They go to communities like downtown Miami, Brickell, Coconut Grove. These are the communities that attract a lot of new residents, because these are the communities where you can have a fruitful live, work, play lifestyle, right? So let's just take Miami Beach. Miami Beach is a large community, and you can get around the city with a trolley. You have free events funded by the city of Miami Beach, and you have a wide variety of apartment rentals to try. So we just launched a new series here at the Miami Herald where it's where would you live? And we're basically taking people who are looking at apartments at the apartment market to show them how far your money can go. So you can get a really nice place in Miami Beach, or with, you know, $2,900 or below, you can get a great apartment in a great location. So I would say follow the crowd.
Follow the crowd. That's great advice. And you know what? We have a quick commercial. I just would like you to stay on for a few minutes. I want to give everyone your information on how they can reach you, or how they can get your articles, or how can they subscribe to it from New York. So if you could just stay on the line for one more quick minute, because you've been great, and I hope that you'll come on again and keep us posted.
Over the last 30 years, Newman Ferrara, a New York City law firm, has evolved into a national practice focused on real estate, commercial, litigation, civil rights, class actions, and other complex litigation, representing many of the city's largest property owners, managing agents, and thousands of tenants. Newman Ferrara handles some of the nation's most significant class actions and civil rights matters. Newman Ferrara at 1250 Broadway in New York City. Go online to NewmanFerrara.com. That's NewmanFerrara.com. Listen to the firm's name partner, Lucas Ferrara, every Saturday at 10 a.m. on Dottie Herman's longest-running real estate radio program, Eye on Real Estate on AM 970. A real estate lawyer for 35 years, Lucas is a professor at New York Law School and is also a published author with books on real estate and New York's landlord-tenant law. Tune in Saturdays at 10 a.m. to hear Lucas's unique perspective and advice on Eye on Real Estate.
Feel like you're trying to push a boulder uphill wearing skates? If you run or manage a local business today, you're challenged like never before. We get it, and we want to help. We're Salem Surround, and when it comes to marketing, consider us your personal move you forward company. In a recent study, we found that 53% of local businesses were classified as novices when it came to designing, implementing, and managing their marketing needs. And that's where Salem Surround truly shines. We're a full-service marketing agency that'll help you increase your customer base by designing incredibly effective plans to reach your consumers day, night, and everywhere they might be. Let us give you an absolutely free audit of your current marketing and what your competition is doing. Our digital sales and support teams are the best in the industry and deliver customized personal service that's second to none.
If you're a local business and ready for the next step, Google Salem Surround New York right now. Our experts are ready to help you take your marketing to the next level. Google Salem Surround New York today.
The madness is here, and at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey, that means slam dunk savings all month long. Our buddy Alex Kinsella, he's the general manager at Route 22 Toyota, called to fill us in on all the madness going on, like zero down leases on all your favorite Toyota models, and low 2.99% APR financing for up to 72 months. Plus, at Route 22 Toyota, everyone drives, thanks to their goal of 100% credit approval. Call them at 973-705-8905 to get pre-approved today. Again, that's 973-705-8905 to get pre-approved for a loan on a brand new Toyota from Route 22 Toyota. It's all part of their slam dunk savings going on right now, where you can save with the madness of zero down leases and low 2.99% APR financing for up to 72 months. Go see Alex and his team at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey, and remember to tell them Joe Piscopo sent you.
Subject to primary lender approval, not all buyers will qualify. Financing on select new Toyota models through Toyota Financial Services. See deal for details. Expires April 1st, 2024.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. Here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back, and I'm not sure if I left off on, I'm not sure where I left, I know where I left off, but I'm not sure if we have Edmund on the line or if Rebecca's still on the line.
I'm here.
Okay, Rebecca, glad you stayed. I just want to give everybody, because you were great. I hope you'll come on again. And you write for the Miami Herald. Is there any way people can get that if they want to? Is there a website or how can they?
Yes.
If they're not,
yes.
Would you just give us an? I'll post it also for those of you who are driving. I will post it also on my site, Dad.
Great. That sounds great. So people who are interested in following me can do so on Twitter. We have, the Miami Herald has a strong website, and so they can check our stories there. And also, if you're just interested in real estate, we have a free newsletter where you will get all of our stories of the week, all of our real estate coverage, and that's called Resource, R-E-S-O-U-R-C-E.
That's Resource, and by the way, so if I get a little post this, and then if I want to follow you, which I will, then I follow, just put your name in, and Rebecca.
Rebecca San Juan.
Okay. Well, I will, and thank you so much, and I hope you'll come back on again and keep us posted.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much, Dottie.
Right. Have a great holiday. Thanks.
You too. Bye.
She was great. She was really great. Boy, time runs fast. I'm thrilled to also have Edmund Hollander, who's a landscape architect, president of Holland Design, and the author of The Landscape of Home in the Country by the Sea in the City. His new book is, I believe, The Art of Landscape and Architecture. I want to say good morning or good afternoon, Edmund. I'm so thankful that you're on the show.
Happy to do it.
Landscape and architect is something very close to my heart. But before I get into that, I just want to ask you, how did you first enter this field of landscape architecture?
It was totally serendipitous. It was a history major at Vassar in 1972 and then went on and studied horticulture at the New York Botanical Garden and finally ended up getting my master's degree at the University of Pennsylvania. But I wish I could say there was a guiding light that led me to this career. I just happened to be the luckiest person alive that fell into something that is totally right for me.
That's really great, because I always say if you want to be great, you really have to be passionate about something.
Right.
I don't know how you can be good, but to be great, I really feel that being passionate about what you do is very important to being great. You know, question for you. You know, I have a house in the Hamptons, and I kind of, I bought it. It was a spec house, actually, so I bought it years ago when I really couldn't afford it, but they were giving mortgages then easily. And I recently, the last couple of years, kind of basically knocked it down and, you know, did a lot of glass. And so one of my friends, who happens to be a billionaire, walked in, and he saw it, and he said, well, Donnie, you know, you know, this looks great, but you have all glass. You need to get a landscape architect now. Now I have a landscaper, but he said, you need to get a landscape architect because
this is a very bright, insightful friend that you have.
Well, yes. And I'm in the business. And again, right. Maybe in the city because there's not that many places where you can really do. But so I said, really? He said, yes. And I have the perfect person for you. He did my home. Well, when I tell you, I am so thrilled, and I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have even thought about it unless this man came over and happened to mention it to me. And the job that he did, I mean, he didn't do the work, but he laid out something in my mind, you know, and my space, the door's all open to the outside, so it's one space. That's phenomenal, and I could never by myself, do that. And it's just adds so much. I love that home. And so I just want to say that a lot of people don't know exactly what a landscape architecture does. So would you tell everybody a little about what you do?
Basically, you know, if every project's a little different, and our work in our firm goes from everything from the next phase of Hudson Yards to working for Tishman Speyer to doing big homes in the Hamptons, to homes in Montecito. So we do a wide range of things. But for a place like yours, or what this book focuses on, the landscape of home, many times a client will call us even when they're looking at the property. Should I buy this property? What can we do with this property? How do I maximize the value of this property for me and my family? And then we will work collaboratively with the building architects. This is where the house should go. This is where the pool should go. This is where the tennis court should go. This is where the golf green should go, whatever it is that's going to make this a wonderful home for your family. Because if we look at the property as though it's kind of a blank canvas and we're creating a composition, you know, an artist would never start painting one corner of the canvas and work his way across. He'd lay out the whole thing and get an idea and then start to work on it. And that's what we do when we work with the building architects, is we start to lay out the way the entire property is going to work, including where the house goes and the pool house and the built elements. And then we layer in the plantings and the gardens and the natural areas and the lawns so that it develops kind of cohesively. And as you mentioned, and this is so important out in the Hamptons and in other places in Florida and California, the greatest places where people love to live are those spaces where they flow from inside to outside the house. And so working collaboratively allows us to create outdoor rooms and indoor rooms that open the outside, makes the inside better, the inside makes the outside better, but the combination of the two makes everything better.
Yeah, and I don't have a mansion or anything. I have a nice size house. It's about 3,500 square feet, but as I said, the I just can't even put it into words because I love it so much. And the landscape just goes with everything. When you open it up, it does. It's all one. And I would have never known to get a landscape architect. And he worked very closely with me. But what a job he did. So does it make a difference? Does it have to be a huge home, or could it be like, you know, even if you have a small amount of space, or does it have to be a certain size, or do you think anybody who wants to make their outside?
I think that, you know, with the value of property nowadays and the value of homes, and you think about, you know, how important the outdoor spaces are to complement the buildings. And so the value of really working with someone who can create spaces where you and your family can live. Do we want to dine outside? Do we want to be able to have a reading garden outside? Do we love the sound of water? Do we love the fragrance of peonies? What about this property is going to create, make it magical, make it work for your family, make it your home? And just like, you know, you might buy a house, but you might also build a house. And so what the landscape architect can do and what they should do is listen to the land, listen to the architecture, listen to the client, and then come up with something that, you know, really works for all of those in making this place your home, because that's really what we're talking about.
And so what was the impetus for you to write this new book?
Well, you know, Rizzoli made us a generous offer, so that was that was a good starting point. We've done a couple of other books before this that really focused on where do people live outside, different types of pool areas and dining areas. And this was more of a, it almost grew out of COVID, if you will, because one of the things we noticed during COVID was where people used to sit inside and look at their gardens and look at their landscapes. In COVID, right, everybody moved outside. All of a sudden, outside was safe. And so there were dining areas with heaters and fans and speakers and screens, and everybody started to live outside. And that became kind of the impetus of this, because what we really wanted to show was how the landscape really became part of their home. Where people before that thought that the home was the building, now the home was the landscape. And that was kind of how we generated the landscape of home.
You know, that's so true. It brings me back to when we hit with the pandemic and New York City basically was on lockdown. I mean, forget about it. If you had a sick mom and she was on a floor, you couldn't go up and see her. A lot of us who had houses or rented houses in the Hamptons went out there. And I remember we would all walk and meet and every day, and we'd walk a while, and then we would end up at somebody's back, you know, because we had to be outside. You couldn't really be next to people. And, you know, so we really start living there. And I know that my outside, when I redid kind of my house and I got a landscape architect, I wanted to be able to use that space so that you didn't have to always trample in my house, but you could do things. And so I had, you know, a bar put in and a you know, sink and water, and my grill is all built in. But, you know, and the plantings were also important because we have deer, a lot of deer. And so I had for things that deer don't eat. So when someone wants to do this, when they read your book, they'll get some ideas. But if they want to get to you, where would they go?
HollanderDesign.com. That's our website, and it has contact information, and it's easy to get a hold of me.
Good. And it was such a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope you'll come back again.
Happy to do it. Love to come see your house in the Hamptons.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Thank you so much, and have a happy holiday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You have all helped support MyPillow and their employees in these tough economic times. Mike Lindell knows this and continues to give back to listeners with deals on his most popular products. You've heard me recently speak about the My Slippers, Giza Sheets, MyPillow 2.0, and more. Great news! The MyPillow 6-pack bath towel sets are back in stock. They are extremely absorbent, yet still provides that soft feel you look for in a towel. The set comes with 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths. Regular price is $79.98 for a limited time. You can get this 6-pack towel set for only $39.99 with promo code JOEP. That's a 50% savings. Go to MyPillow.com. Call 800-651-0798. Use the promo code JOEP to save 50% on the MyPillow 6-pack towel sets.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala here for Bay Ridge Honda, run by my family friend Rob Sabah and his family. The Sabah family has owned and operated Honda for over 60 years. 60 years serving the 5 boroughs. I've gotten cars there. My whole family has. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother-in-law, my grandfather. Everyone knows to go to Bay Ridge Honda because the Sabah family makes you feel like you're part of their family. To kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. That's right, zero down deals. On top of that, APR rates as low as 1.9%. You can't find that anywhere else. No payments until summer of 2024. 90 days of no payments. Best prices around. They will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas like the all-new Civic, HR-V, CR-V, the Honda Accord, and the Honda Passport. They have them all ready for you to drive home today. Serving the 5 boroughs of New York, every new vehicle comes with their Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. Visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Brooklyn, or online at bayridgehonda.com.
Hello, this is John Leventhal. I am a partner in the law firm of Idala, Bertuna & Kamens. I have been a lawyer for 43 years, including 13 years as a trial judge and 13 years as an appellate judge. I have presided over almost every kind of civil and criminal case, and I have seen litigants facing almost every legal problem you can imagine. What is the most important thing for a litigant to do? It is to obtain the right lawyer. Someone with the ability to navigate you through the court system and achieve the best possible outcome. At Idala, Bertuna & Kamens, that is what we offer. When I was on the bench, Idala, Bertuna & Kamens earned the reputation of being the boutique law firm that fights passionately for their clients in the most professional manner in both civil and criminal cases. I am proud to be a member of the Idala, Bertuna & Kamens law firm, where our lawyers will give you the powerful representation you all deserve.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. Here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back. And again, I want to wish everybody a great holiday. And if you're celebrating it, and if you're not, maybe you'll have a long weekend. I want to talk a little in the last few minutes that we have of the show on some of the trends. And for those of you who are watching mortgage rates dipped to 6.79. The average rate for 30-year fixed home loan dropped from 6.87 to 6.79 for the week ending March 28th. And so they're slightly lower. And as I think I've told you on many a show, the average overall interest rate is 7.5. I mean, if you check out time over the last 10, 15 years. And so we're kind of a little below average. And although some people want to compare it to the rates during the pandemic, which were, 2.5-3%, that was a one-time deal during the pandemic. I don't think we're going to see that again. I never saw it in my lifetime, and I've been in the business a lot of years. I don't think I'll see it again. So I think these are good rates, okay? So I think that, you know, that's a really good thing. And the spring is here, and so home inventory is starting to loosen up a little bit more. It's not, we had such a shortage in most parts of the country that even if we put a little bit more inventory on the market, it's still not enough. It actually jumped, inventory jumped across the country by about 22%. And this week marks 20 weeks in a row that the total number of homes for sale is up year over year. Now, again, don't get crazy over that. we still don't have a lot. So if you're out there, you have to be a diligent buyer, and you've got to really be on top of the market, and you can't miss things because there's still not a lot of stuff on the market. But it is, we have seen inventory growth, even in the Midwest, which was pretty low. And we've also seen property taxes grow. And this is really alarming. Real estate taxes on single family homes increased about 24% from 2019 to 2023. The median price for a single family home in the United States rose, and now we're talking nationally, so, you know, not specific areas, it rose about 40% from 2019 to 2022, peaking at $480,000 before receding to about $417,000 at the close of 23. And now the higher the homes became led to higher property taxes, so that adds even more to your monthly housing costs. And I don't have, I plan to have on the show in the next coming weeks a certiorari attorney who deals with property taxes. And, you know, if you look at your property taxes and you think you're overassessed or you think you're paying too much, how you can go to a certiorari attorney and they would look at your case and they would tell you if you have a shot of getting a reduced taxes. Usually the way they charge is based on the reduction that they get. So usually you don't have any outlay that you have to pay. It comes out of the savings that you make on your taxes. But remember that property taxes are based on a home's assessed value and the local tax rate. So you have to know all of those things. But after the pandemic, the price increases have gone crazy and affected rates differently depending on the location. And CoreLogic found that taxes rose about 26.3% among homes that were reassessed since 2019. So if you had a reassessment, it probably went up a lot. And if they wasn't reassessed, it went up about 18.4%. So it's a lot. And, you know, if you're not living in a high tax area, so that's great. But if you happen to be living in a high tax area, that's a tough thing. So that's why I always suggest that you look for a property tax certiorari attorney who deals with that. And again, you probably just have to give them a section, lot, and block, you know, of your home. And they can do a quick study and know if you're entitled to file to get an adjustment, okay? According to the separate CoreLogic study, the median tax bill, like, for example, in Westchester in 2023 was $15,373, and that study did not provide the levels of post-pandemic increases. After that, it was followed with $14,879 a year in property taxes. And New York was the third highest in taxes with a median of $1,473. Actually, what did I tell you? Westchester was number one, Rockland County was number two, and New York was number three. So that's something that you look at. And when you're looking to buy a home, and I guess spring is here, and this is probably the most popular time to buy a home. Again, there's a little bit more inventory, but it's still tight. I don't know that you'll see the same bidding wars, but if it's something really hot and it's just come out, you might see them. So my advice to you, if you're looking at the market, the interest rates are good. I don't care what anyone tells you. They might say they're high, they're not. They're talking about that one-time thing that we had, 3%, which was just a one-time. They're pretty decent. I think they're affordable. Houses are high. But again, the momentum of them going up, because they rose so much from the pandemic to now, that they're kind of stabilizing. And again, some higher than others. But again, you know, a market depends on how many buyers are looking. So in other words, if there is not a lot of inventory, which we pretty much are in this that now, and there is, are more buyers than there are homes for sale, then that becomes a seller's market, which is what I think we're in. When I say we're in, I don't think we've transcended to a buyer's market. I think we're still in a seller's market, not like the pandemic where there were 22 deal offers on a property. And, you know, if you didn't have all cash, you were out. So now I think at least you can negotiate, or at least you can put an offer in. And for those of you presenting offers, if you do present them, you should use a good realtor who knows the business. And one of the questions I always find that people never ask, or never even think about when they're talking to a realtor, is their negotiating skills. Because part of buying a home is negotiating with the seller, then the buyer and the seller. And very few people want to do it themselves because it's hard to do it personally. So you want to find a broker who knows how to negotiate well, because what's a good deal? A good deal is when the buyer feels satisfied that they got a fair deal and the seller feels satisfied that they got a fair deal. And if you're a seller, remember, don't only look at price. Look at their credit. I mean, I would ask for a credit check before I even started, because you don't want to waste your time with somebody who can't get a mortgage. Not only the price, but the terms. And again, if you're a buyer, sometimes price isn't always the answer. Sometimes if you can find out from the agent, does this person have to move, or do they want to move in a short period of time or a long period of time? Sometimes if you can accommodate some of their terms, that might help you get, that might bring a deal in at a lower price that they accept over a higher price deal because the terms are good. So remember, when you're negotiating, price is of course important, but terms are just as important as price. And a good broker knows that when you negotiate with a seller, you kind of give them all the pluses first. And if I know, and it's not customary to do this all over, but I always tell people, and again, this is just my advice and opinion. It is not something that I see even being done a lot, but I used to do it in the business. When somebody really wanted a property, I would say, look, make an offer, get me a check signed to the seller for some deposit on the money. Now, remember, the seller can't keep that check or take that check unless they accept the offer and your terms. And your deal has to have all the elements of a legally binding contract. But sometimes that shows how serious you are. Also, if you take a tour of the house and the seller happens to be home and you're walking through the home, I would always ask the seller, gee, what are some of the things that made you buy this home? What are some of the things that you love about it? And get that seller to talk and have a rapport with myself. It doesn't always mean that you're going to get it for cheaper. But, you know, it doesn't hurt if the seller likes that buyer and feels, hey, you know what? I raised a family here. I've been happy here. And I feel most sellers want that. They want, you know, if they've had a good life there, if they've raised their family, and they want somebody else who's going to be able to do that. And so a good rapport is always nice to have. And to finding out what's most important to the seller. Of course, price is always important, but it's not the only thing. I know one of my first houses I got because I was flexible and when I could move in, and the woman's husband got a transfer someplace across the country, and she had two young children, and she was staying back while he had to move for his job with two young kids. So she wanted to get rid of that house as soon as possible. And a friend of mine who was a broker from another company called me up and said, listen, just listed this. I was there in 2 seconds, got the house, and I still have that house. I love it. Listen, we're ending. Our show is soon as ending. Have a great holiday for those who celebrate Easter. For those who don't, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy friends, family, and all those that you love. Happy holidays, everyone. Be back next week.
The preceding hour of programming paid for by DTHY Realty Incorporated.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.